From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast, talking acquisition and draft picks with none other than Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and also Ranger.Proud on Instagram, and also columnist or writer for Elite Sports NY. Ranger Proud, RP, what's going on, sir? How's everything?
Good, Steve. How's it going today?
Not bad. Let's jump right into it, man. So give us your thoughts as far as the draft picks the Rangers had, and we'll get to the trade step on later. But what's your thoughts overall with the draft picks, man? Fire away.
You know, a lot of people have been complaining about the draft picks. I think the first two round picks they got are solid picks. The reason why there were so many first round picks thrown around this season is there really wasn't many, if any, players that were like ready now. There were no Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid coming out of this draft. So this is like a traditional draft. When you're going to pick the guy that you think is going to fit what you need most on the team, and then over the next couple of years develop him and hope he makes it up into, onto the main team. So I had no problems. I mean, we went from not having a first-round draft pick for the last 5 years to having two first-round draft picks. So, and like other reporters had commented, a lot of times you don't recognize these names. A lot of people don't really follow the OHL and the AA, and teams like that. So it's hard to know exactly what you're getting. You really have to rely on the Rangers scouting team and so forth. But, Elias Anderson, the Rangers' number one draft pick, number seven overall, supposed to be a real solid, good pick. He's a center, and it's what the team definitely is going to need. So I was happy with it. I didn't think there were many. I don't think anyone could complain, let's put it that way, about the moves that the Rangers made.
I didn't think the first two picks were all that bad. I had to go back and get some film on Anderson and see his game. I thought he's got soft hands. He's fluid around the net. I'm not going to sit here and say I saw every game that these guys played, because that's obviously not the case. And like to your point, a lot of fans in general, unless they're watching these games in Europe and the OHL and the SHL or EHL, whatever league it happened to be, unless they're sitting down watching every game and then having that opinion saying, I really don't like this person and here's why I watched this game, you could only go but so far with some of the fans. That's probably overreacting. I don't even understand why they would overreact, because by default, wouldn't they overreact in every draft that we have with a first-round draft pick?
Yeah, a lot of times, they haven't had one since 2012, and that was Brady Shea. Yeah. And at that time, at that time, people complained that it wasn't a good pick. I don't know what fans.
I don't even remember what people said about Shea.
Shea came up. No, it wasn't a horrible draft, but they said the same things they're saying now. Who is he? Oh, they could have done better. It could have been a different pick. You really have to rely on the scouting team that the Rangers hired to do their job on these kind of drafts. There is no, outside of the number one and number two overall pick, there were no locks, no gimmies.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rangers, now you and I had spoken last week, but the one thing that did sort of concern me was that the Rangers really wanted Colin Foote. Like they wanted Elias Anderson more, because they could have got Colin Foote at number seven, but he really wasn't a number seven value. But people mm-hmm. knew that name more, so I think they were talking, oh, we could have got him. And it's hard to say that. Anderson is a really good hockey player. So, they're both really good hockey players in number one or two. So I don't know why people do that, but it just tends to happen with the drafts. A lot of people really don't know the caliber of the player or what to expect. People understand that you have to wait 2 or 3 years. Look at the Rangers. Chris Kreider, JT Miller, none of them were drafted and came right up to the big club. It takes time to develop and perform a system and see what you have. So, sometimes you have to take those comments and those situations, on a grain of salt and just say, okay, we're just going to have to wait and see.
And number one, that is news to me, because you know me by now. I don't really follow a lot of the fans day in and day out on the reaction on what they do. And that's any sport. So when you're saying this to me, this is really news to me. Like, wow, they're really tripping out like shit.
And it's not a lot. Don't get me wrong. It's not like overwhelming, but a lot of people were saying it was funny. Because Bonello, who writes for MSG and some other, was like, well, here goes another draft where I'll probably not know any of the seven guys that we draft. And here's a guy that has been running for the Rangers for years. He writes for MSG Network, and he follows hockey, and he didn't know a lot of the players. So the draft was fun because it was coming right off the Ranger trade. You know, they had a high pick for the first time in 5 years, 10 years, whatever it was. So it was interesting. There were also some rumors that the Rangers may make another move. But there weren't even a lot of trade. The expansion draft was actually more exciting than the NHL draft this year. The first two rounds were relatively quiet and all. So, you know, it's good. It's always good to get first-round picks. I think it was really good for Gorton, the GM, trying to get a position. These past 4 weeks, Steve, he took over the team. It's no longer going to say there's fiasco. This was where I finally truly believe that Gorton stepped up. And for good or bad, we don't know yet. But he has, you know, taken his place now where it belongs. He made the big buyout. He made the big trade. You know, he worked, worked out with the Lindbergh deal with the expansion draft. He got his, for the first time, he was able to pick a first-round draft pick, you know, two of them. So I think he's done a lot of good things. You know, he has a lot of work ahead of him. But, you know, he seemed prepared for what he wanted to do. He did everything with confidence. His interviews were confident. So I gave him, you know, good shout out to him. It was a good way to start this year.
So you're good with Gorton. Overall, you're good with Gorton and what he did. Okay, you consent.
Definitely.
Man, I have no issues with it either, man. No issues at all. Because last week when we had the conversation, it was we had only one first rounder at 21, and then the deal happens, and then we get up to 7. So let's talk about the actual trade. What's your thoughts with Ranta and Stepan? And I know that's money that we since the arbitration a couple summers ago. What's your thoughts on that with Stepan? And
it was Stepan was a great Ranger. He played with his heart. You can't knock that. But at the end of the day, it's a business first, and I truly believe the Rangers did not want to get locked up for 4 more years with Stefan, with all this no trade clauses, and then 2 more years of modified no trade clauses. It takes the control right out of your hands, and the Rangers just are sort of still in that, you know, with Girardi, with Stahl, McDonough's got it, Lundqvist has it. I think down the road that now they're realizing that those no trade moves can really hurt you as a team if you want to start planning for your future. You know, if you would have won a cup over the last couple of years, it was worth it. But it didn't work out that way, and now you're stuck with some of these contracts. So I had no trouble with the Stefan trade. I understand that Phoenix wanted Ranta, and Ranta wanted a chance to be a number one goalie. So, to get the number one draft pick, he had to put Ranta into that deal. They got Anthony DeAngelo, who's a young kid with a very interesting past 4 years once he signed his first contract. So he's got a little bit of an edge to him. He's been suspended a couple of times. You hope that finally he starts to mature a little bit. He still has 2 more years left on his entry-level contract, so it's not costing the team a lot of money. Gorton seems to think he can help run the power play on the second unit. He doesn't score a lot of goals. He did have, he played 39 games. I think he had 14 assists, and seven of them were on the power play. He is feisty. He won't back down from anybody, which the fans are really going to like. He does have a little trouble with abusing officials, which he's been suspended for twice. So let's just hope he can pull that in. And but from when you look at the whole trade, unless you're a diehard Stepan fan, you're like, I can't believe they did that, which I don't see many people saying. It was a good move.
A couple. Not that I don't agree with them, because if you watch Rangers hockey this year, Stepan he took a step back, man. The face-offs and
he did.
Just out of he it and that the drought. We talked about all this game in and game out.
The face-offs were more of a reason why they wanted to move him than a scoring drought. Because, if you go through a scoring drought, you go through a scoring drought. But to only win 45% of your face-offs all year is just a killer when that's your main position. And he was our top guy. So there was a combination of reasons why they made the move. Money in his contract was definitely the
number one
to it, but
yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. Even, you know, really, you think about it, July 1st comes around, and you can't move him at all for two more years. Now, supposing he keeps it declining like he has for two more years, sometimes
you can't
take that change of pace. You're right.
You can't
take that risk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it worked,
that.
It worked out well.
Yeah.
You know, when the expansion draft happened and Aranta got saved, he didn't get picked. You're like, all right, Rangers would be good for a backup for another year. And then they go and trade him. I think that was a little bit more of a shock than Stefan being the guy that got traded. So the trades were good. They freed up a lot of money. The Rangers have like $20 million in cap space free right now, but they have a lot of holes to fill.
Oh, yeah.
You get down two centers, a starting defenseman, your backup goaltender, going into free agency. You haven't re-signed Brandon Smith, though. There are rumors going that the Rangers and him are really trying to get it done before Saturday.
Yeah, they got to get him. They got to get him back.
They really got to
get
him before Saturday. The rumor, you know, the rumor mill out there, a lot of teams are interested in him. I tell you, I'm seeing rumors that Dan Girardi thing is popping up a lot of places now, too. People are talking about what he'd do next. Yeah, Toronto's interested in him. I just read Tampa Bay is interested in him.
Tampa Bay?
You could take whatever. Tampa Bay going back with Callahan? Staying on the East Coast?
Well, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not the same as you're pairing with your defenseman. You're talking about as far as teammate in general. You would think at this point of his career, he's getting onto a contender. But then again, in the NHL, teams come out of nowhere. You could be last place and you could make the playoffs and make a run on top of that. So there's a lot of parity when it comes to in the NHL.
Sure. If I had my choice, I'd go to Toronto. Because who wouldn't want to play with Austin Matthews? The kid's going to be golden. He's going to be golden. So, look what they did this year. And this is the first year when they really got, you know what I'm saying? Babcock and Lamoriello got a good thing going over there. It's going to be special in Toronto. So it's good to see they got offers and all. Figured he would. I didn't think he was going to retire or anything like that. But on the Rangers side, they have some work to do. And then the other rumors we hear today, because there wasn't a lot of hockey news, especially today, is now there are rumors going that the Rangers may not be going after Shattenkirk as hard. Now, that could just be a rumor to get him to come to us.
Cost too much.
Mm-hmm.
How much you think Shattenkirk is going to cost on the open market?
He's going to probably get a 7-year deal at about 6.5 to 7 a year.
That's a lot of commitment.
Yep, $42 million, a lot of money.
I don't know.
I like him, but I was never a big fan of him. I mean, he'll definitely help the team, but I don't know if I want to put $42 million into him. If the Rangers sign Smith, their defense is really improved from last year, right? You have, just naming players, you have McDonough, you have Brady Shea, you have Anthony DeAngelo, you'd have Brandon Smith, you'd have Mark Stahl, and you'd have Nick Holden. Now, Stahl and Holden are going to be your 5-6 defensemen. I expect to see Brady Shea on the top defensive pair or the top four guys on the team. If you're going to like Shattenkirk in, then Holden's going to probably be your number 7, at least when the season starts. I would think Stahl would get the respect to get the start.
So if you bring in Shattenkirk, do you think that tightens up the subpar defense the defensemen have been having? That clears that up? That makes Hank more sharper? He doesn't have to worry about bad defensemen out of position? You think that's an investment worth taking? There's still a small window for this Rangers regime. I know some guys are off the team now, i.e., Stepan, Lindbergh to a certain extent, being on a bottom six line. But you think Shattenkirk a deal like that would instantly, barring injury, because if guys get hurt, that's a whole different issue. If as healthy, you run with McDonough, Shea, Smith, Shattenkirk, that's not a bad four right there off the rip.
That's an awesome
but
four.
It's
an awesome four.
So
now,
you think it's worth
it? I don't know if it's worth $42 million. I really don't.
Well,
you really have to sit down and think about it. But they also did say
–
they also did say that he might
take
a little bit of
a – If you don't do that, then what's the alternative?
if you go with the six you have now and you try to find yourself a good backup goalie, you make sure you re-sign Brandon Smith. You need at least two starting centers to come back on the team, because I don't know if you can put two rookie centers from the minor leagues up and expect your third and fourth line to play the viable role that AV wants. You got to remember. And you have to remember another thing. Now you're telling me that Kevin Hayes all of a sudden is our number two center on the team.
Mm-mm.
The man that had the deer in the headlights look the entire playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
Not comfortable with that at all. All right, so now, let's be realistic. Kevin Hayes is a third-line center if he's going to go back to center. Or do you put JT Miller at center? There's a lot of things you can and can't do, but you know the Rangers have a lot of holes. They have to find a legitimate backup goaltender because Skapski's going to be released as an unrestricted free agent. He didn't get a qualifying offer. Marcus Hellberg went back to KHL. Halverson, I don't know if he's ready enough to backup Hank in a capacity that you want to use a backup goalie. There aren't many goalies out there that you can pick up and say, okay, here, go play 20 games for us. You know, the Rangers freed up a lot of cap space at a cost of a lot of players. Defense is kind of, you know, if you get Smith signed and you got D'Angelo now, you're okay with the, you know, defensive eye, you're better than you were yet last year, at least to start the season.
I think so.
I think they're going to go after Shattenkirk, though. I think this is all, as some people say, fake news, just to get Shattenkirk to look this way. He has always said he wanted to be a Ranger. So now he'll put his money where his mouth is. If he really wants to be a Ranger, will he take a little bit less money to come
to New York? That is something Drury could probably, which is why there's a lot of shuffling in the front office behind Gorton. The availability of what the Rangers have done, even in the offseason last year, getting guys that we didn't think we could get, it's not off base. The way I look at it, and I haven't really thought it out, but a top four like that does sound great, especially I believe that's where a lot of our woes are. I really do.
Yeah.
As far as combination of the goalie, I think it's more so the defenseman. You know, the goalie gives up bad goals, but the defenseman could be real, suspect at times, and especially in the playoffs. And they would have tightened that up. We probably would have been on our way past Ottawa and caught a couple bad breaks. Especially the Ottawa series, actually. Hell yeah.
The two games you blew with it went under 4 minutes to go. You probably won both of those games. And
exactly.
Now they're playing. Now you're in the Eastern Conference final. I agree with that. I think if you get better defensemen in front of you, the goalie's in a better position and isn't pressured as much to make certain saves. We spoke about it. Klein was running around a lot at the end of the year. And Girardi wasn't looking as strong at the end of the year. So it's time. That was the other thing that Gorton was reportedly said, that he wants to keep the team young. I forgot what Cap shot.
That's what I loved about all these moves, though. That's one of the things I loved about all these moves. Do you keep in the age prime around 25? You know, there's a couple guys that's old, like Nash, Hank. I mean, that's a goalie. I'm talking about, the forwards. You know, you have a lot of guys. You're bringing in young. I mean, you're still kind of – you're still retooling. You're not rebuilding, but you're retooling, and you've gotten younger. It's the same thing what happened last offseason when you traded Broussard for Zibanejad, because the main thing was, well, Broussard is going to look for his payday. Uh-huh. He's not totally old, but you're getting a 21 Mika Zibanejad. You went back 5 years on that move alone on age.
I agree. No, it's something you have to look, you have to look forward to that, because this is what happened with the current team. When they signed Girardi, when they signed Stahl 4 years ago, they were younger. Oh, yeah, we're going to give you a no-trade contract. We expect to be in the finals more. We expect to win a couple of cups. And then what happened was it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And with that, now you're stuck with these guys. Now, look, Shattenkirk isn't old. He's 28. So you can understand why he's asking for a lot of money, because this would be his prime contract.
He's in his prime.
This is going to be the money contract. Last year he played 80 games. He had 13 goals and 43 assists, and he was a minus seven. The numbers aren't outstanding, but he's a solid defenseman. He's another first-round draft pick out of Colorado and back in 2007. So, the Rangers would have a lot of first-round picks on their team, too. If you think about it, a first-round pick on anyone's standard, normally, except for Dylan Makarov, sorry, friend, is a good pick. So I would like to see him on the team. I think he'd be really good as a Ranger. He keeps saying that he wants to be a Ranger, and he always had. So I'm sure you're going to, you know, Saturday morning comes around, Saturday afternoon, whatever the date, the time is, and the Rangers by then are going to know exactly what they want to offer, what they want to do, and then they'll see if they can make it. There's a lot going on. It's not a really strong free agent here. Shattenkirk is probably the top guy out there. You know, then you start looking at, you know, you're looking just plays overall. You look at Joe Thornton, he's 37. You look at Yago. You look at Patrick Marleau, who said now he might want to come to the Rangers. You don't want to get tied up with getting all these guys at the other end of their career coming here and doing a 1 or 2 year hope. You know, we kind of did that with Marty St. Louis. It worked out really well till we didn't win the cup. But when you think of it, when you look at it now, it was another one of those moves. You got a good player who could score goals, who was at the end of his career. He came here for 2 years. We gave him a first-round draft pick with Callahan, and then he retired. So I don't, you know, how many more years, how productive is it, Joe Thornton? I like Joe Thornton when he was a little bit younger. Now, this year, you look at his numbers and all, good player. Don't get me wrong. But as we always say, he's going to be on the third line. We can always find third line players. Now, you do need centers, so that's another thing you got to consider. Me personally, I thought they should go back to Yager. Yeah, I know he's older, but the man can score on the power play. The man can set up your power play.
It's amazing how long he's been in the league.
Yeah, but you want to know something about how well he skates? He skates better than some rookies. He was skating with rookies last
year.
That's
why he's still there.
You know, the man is absurd. His dedication and his skill and all. Can you imagine if the Rangers put Yager on that power play? I think he would definitely improve it. Look, we improved the penalty kill last year when it was dramatically needed. Now you really look what happened with the power play. It cost us too many playoff games again. And I said that all along. It cost us games at the end of the season. You need to get someone who put the puck in the net on the power play. It's supposed to be Zibanejad.
Oh, that was
he was doing
huge
well.
That's the other struggle.
He was doing well until he broke his leg. And then he had trouble getting the offensive niche back. He played well. He took faceoffs great. But the offense wasn't as dominant. And I'm sure it'll come back around again. So these are all the things they're going to have to look at between now and, you know, and Saturday. I'm sure they have been looking at it. The expansion draft threw a little curveball in the middle of all of it. That's why there wasn't a lot of free agency talk. And then it went right to the NHL draft. And then it went right to prospect camp that opened up Monday. So you haven't heard a lot about free agency. But I'm thinking, like, the little bit of the Brandon Smith story broke that they were trying to work on it. And the Joe Thornton talk started today a little bit. And now I just saw it about the Patrick Marleau talk. I think as we get closer to Saturday, you're going to see.
On the Marleau, I saw a lot of that. He's been around the block a long time, man. That's something I don't know if I want it. And, you know, do you want to entertain that?
You know, right now I'm at the stage and, like, it's enough with the guys
agent.
In the second half of their career. I don't know. Look, they're all good, right? Now, Marleau is different. He's a center. He's 37 years old. But Steve, 46 points last year. He had 27 goals and 19 assists. Now, if you can get him for 1 or 2 years, I would look at Patrick Marleau. I mean, his numbers, he was a +4. He scored 27 goals on the San Jose Sharks last year. That's something you got to consider. He's a big boy, 6'2", 215 pounds. You know, if things worked out the right way, you could see him in that beating the heck out of some Philadelphia Flyers, couldn't you? I mean, if I had to choose, I would want Marleau over Thornton. That's just
how much is it going to cost?
People say I'm crazy.
Or how much would it cost you? You know, I mean,
that's a good question. That's what they're going to have to negotiate. Now,
Marleau,
he's only willing to go to 2 or 3 teams though, so he's tying his own hands by even coming out and saying that. I don't know what the other two teams are. I read it somewhere. I can't find
correct
it right
me, correct
now.
Me if I'm
but,
wrong. Is this something going on in San Jose that I don't know about? I mean, I thought they had pretty much a good team intact. They were just a year removed from the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but they're in the same spot.
They've been on the same. Of course. Yeah, they've. So has the Rangers. I mean to
right,
a degree.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So now the San Jose's like, you know something? Now it's time for our guys to move on. You know, how much am I going to give Marleau? He's 37 years old. We want to get younger. Sometimes the change of scenery. Sometimes the change of scenery does make the player kind of get that jump back at him.
See, but you already know, Frank, that a lot of it, I'm really apprehensive when it comes to players specifically playing in New York, like Madison Square Garden, because when the lights are really, really, really shining and brightening on the ice or the court, depending on which sport you're talking about, a lot of these guys that come from other franchises who had pretty good careers where the media isn't as vicious or like on attack like New York media. I mean, that's a lot of intangibles. A lot of people and some players probably don't realize till they get there. And I'm not I always factor those things in.
That's always the chance you take when you sign someone. Can they play in New York? You're not going to know until he plays in New York. So you sometimes
That factor doesn't really partake with other like 29 other franchises. It's like New York's the main killer when it comes to that. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
You're true, but you want to know something? He's a 500 goal scorer.
Yeah.
Like I said, he scored 27 last year, 25 the year before. The year before that, he only had 19, but he had 38 assists. So that was his highest point year out of the three. The year before that, he had 33 goals. In 2012, he only played in 48 games. I think he had an injury. And then the 3 years before that, he hit 30 goals, 37, 44. The man puts the puck in the net consistently. Reminds me a little bit of a Mike Gartner. Goal. I mean, I only see here two out of the last 8 years that he didn't have 20 goals or more. In 2012, he had 17. And in 2007, 2008, he had 19. Other than that, Steve, from 2001 to 2017, he scored over 20 goals in every year but one. I would think if he comes to New York, he can do it again.
Okay, so you're in favor.
And he can win.
He can win what? Faceoffs?
His faceoff percentage last year, Steve, was 53%. It was 50% the year before.
Does he see himself as a missing piece to a Rangers getting the cup? That's the ultimate question, right?
That's a good question.
Does he see himself, or is it borrowing out the money and extending your career?
No.
Does he feel?
For instance, I'll give you an example.
When Raymond Bork left the Bruins back in what, 95, 96, he went to Colorado. He felt that he was the missing piece on one of those lines to win with Joe Sackett with Avalanche.
And
like
he
20
did.
that's what I'm trying to say. Is it a similar situation where you're an aging player, a very good player for a long time, going to the opposite coast, basically, feeling you're the missing piece for a Stanley Cup?
I think if you look at the Rangers from another team, and you see the Henrik Lundqvist and the Zibanejad, you're always saying, you know something, they're only a couple of pieces from the cup.
Yeah.
I mean, they made it to what, within two games of making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I still say they lost it based on their defense. Yeah, they could have scored more, but those games they lost with a minute left in a game, the 3-goal lead with 5 minutes to go in the third period, a lot of that's just on a whole defensive coverage. All of them, but it was on defense. But we've talked about that. So if I'm alone and you can, if this put it this way, if both sides can work out the dollar to sign a contract, whether it's a 1 year or a 2 year or a one of an option, though they don't really do that much, but if they can work something out like that, I don't see why Melo wouldn't want to come over here.
Yeah.
If he wants to stay on the West Coast, he might as well stay with San Jose.
Well,
that's why I'm thinking he wants to move.
That franchise on that market, they have probably the least pressure from the media because they play in San Jose. They're not directly in San Fran. You know, it's not the Niners, the Raiders, the Giants, the Athletics, the Warriors.
Yes.
They probably like the you come to the Rangers, man. You're front and center, man. So that's the only thing I'm saying, man. Some players can handle it.
With the media, right. You want to know something?
Yeah.
With the media aspect of it, you never know. He might be saying, oh, who cares? I can take care of it. I've been in the league 20 years. I can take care of the media. I've been to New York a million times and dealt with the media. No one deals with it on an everyday basis. No one deals with it with seven different newspapers, digital media, and social media, and all that attacking him. So I agree with you that you don't know. But anytime you make a signing like that, it's a gamble. So of all the guys that we've been talking about, Merlot definitely seems like a guy that you would want to maybe – at least have a conversation about at least to me, over Thornton and maybe over Yager. And all this conversation is also depending on, do they want to go to a guy in the second half of their career? They might not. But free agent-wise, there aren't a lot of guys out there. It's not a big free agent market. So, yeah. You just have to see where they want to attack it. Shattenkirk is the top of the free agent market this year. After that, it's a lot of even. I mean, it's the same thing with goaltenders. There aren't any big, big names. The Buffalo Sabres goalie, excuse me, because I forgot his name.
Oh, Harvey, We're about to be out of time.
Right.
Quick final thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do for goaltending. Quick final thought. I don't know if he's going to look for a trade. I really don't know what their theory is. Do they want to give Halvorsen a chance from the minors? I don't know if he's ready to be the full backup. Yeah, you need to get someone that's going to play 20 games, 25 games. Unless Hank gets injured. He was injured. Think about it, with both of the backup goalies, Talbot and Ronta, he sat out some time because of injury, because he's getting older too. He's coming off a knee injury from the World Championships after the playoffs ended. He hurt his knee, and he's still off it. He still hasn't skated. I think they said he needed 4 to 6 weeks, and that ended in the middle of May. So he hasn't even been on skates yet. So
yeah. You're
looking for someone who can play 20, 25 games. And for the Rangers, you'd like him to win 18 of them. You can't, mm-hmm. You don't want to hope go even. So I don't know where you go with that. They may have to make a trade for a goalie,
yeah. Which
is something I'm sure they looked at.
We'll continue the conversation on the next episode of the Ring Podcast. We're out of time. We're about to get cut off. Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. This episode will be on iTunes Podcast for public tuning and your Stitcher. We got a lot to discuss because I want to pick your brain on the next episode about the rookies and immediate impact, and we'll see how we can go with there and other topics. RP, okay. Enjoy the rest of the evening, man. Sangre Azul. Follow Ranger Proud, everybody.
Take care.
Yes, sir. I'm just wrapping up. About to go to finish up some dinner with some colleagues. I finished up some work late and about to get up with some colleagues for some dinner. This pizza in Georgia, where the hell you get pizza from? Ain't no good pizza in Georgia. We already went through that. I gotta tell you. Shit. Ooh. Shit. Yeah, I'm about to get up with some colleagues for dinner. But you having pizza? Where the hell you get pizza from? Ain't no good pizza in Georgia. Where you get that from, girl? Yes, sir.